Hello guys, welcome to the Black Spain Global Podcast. I am Lucy.
And I'm Eugene.
And welcome to day
10
Wimbledon. Also our potential last day at Wimbledon.
Crazy.
Definitely last singles day for us.
Yes.
Eugene, how are you feeling?
Yeah, it's a weird one, not gonna lie. Sad.
I can't even hear.
Sad that we're not, well, sad that we're done in terms of singles. Obviously Ben Shelton, Yannick Sinner match, which we'll talk about, was our main focus for today. But we did have a doubles victory.
We did. Very close one as well, but it was good.
Yeah, but in terms of this being our final day in terms of singles action, yeah, it's sad.
Yeah, definitely. I think for me, it's weird because it felt more hectic than last year, but maybe because we had so much like to do in general. But I think it's also because of the matchup. Obviously, Shelton has made it second week to all Grand Slams, you know. Majority he's made it to quarterfinals, semis, but each time that has happened, his journey is stopped by the really top players, which I think people don't really realize. Like, I'm seeing some people saying, "Ah, oh, look at him, how is he a top 10 player after the loss like today?" And it's like, if you are continuously losing to those like top players, it shows that you're nearly there.
100%.
Especially with how quick he has risen to his like potential and everything. And I'm saying potential because he's not done, he's not in his finals form, and he said it himself. He literally lost semi-finals to Sinner at the Australian Open.
Sinner went on to win that.
Yeah, and Sinner went to win that. So, and I said it, I mean, no one took me seriously when I said that Sinner is like on blood right now. Like, that RG final has done something to him that I think people are underestimating. I think he came into Wimbledon like looking like, I cannot go through what I went through, losing 3-4 match points, being so close to winning in straights, and just gone just like that.
Just on Sinner as well, like, because obviously people would be aware now that the match before, so his fourth round match against Grigor Dimitrov, he was actually 2 sets to love down. And then Dimitrov had to retire at 2-2 in that third set. So technically, yeah, he lost that match, really and truly. But Dimitrov retiring pushed Sinner through. So really,
I mean, personally,
and weird
I personally think that he would have won that match regardless.
In five sets, really?
I think he would have won that match regardless. Dimitrov was not going to beat Sinner at round of 16 to win, but it was not going to happen.
I don't know, Lucy.
That's my honest opinion anyways, because like I said, anyways, I feel like he just came into the tournament in a whole different ball game, a whole different energy. So I feel like if he was ever going to lose, it would have been somewhere like Alcaraz or Djokovic, semi-finals or finals. And to all respect to Dimitrov, I don't think it would have like happened anyways. And the level that he played just to me just proved that. But yeah, regarding the Shelton and Sinner match, it was very interesting because obviously coming into the match, we kind of felt like, okay, there'll be even more of an opportunity because of the fact that Sinner was slightly injured from the last match. He slipped, 100%. He fell into his right arm. So there was a lot of people feeling like, okay, this could be like an opportunity and everything. He had it all like wrapped up and stuff.
Wearing,
and he said that he was going to go.
Yeah,
he said he's going to go for like an MRI scan, which he did. The first practice that he did, he even did it indoors. No cameras, no nothing. So we couldn't really get an idea of how he was feeling. But this morning he was hitting at the normal practice courts. His coach did say he was feeling good, he was feeling better, he was hitting. Came into the match. I even forgot that he actually had something wrong with him because, boy, this guy was
pretty
hitting
good
like
me.
Crazy.
Yeah, pretty good.
Like, he looked good. Okay, like I was like, yo, I want to see that scan in 4K immediately. But he was hitting really strong. His serves were crazy, which even Shelton, you know, spoke about during his press. And you can see that he was also, you can tell that his team really sat down and studied Shelton. And to me, it kind of reminded me the difference between Sinner and the others, because I feel like a lot of the other players could have been like, you know what, it's cool, we've got this, it's only Shelton. I beat him 5-1. I mean, 5-1. Same round last year as well. Or round of 16, actually, sorry. Yeah, round of 16 last year. But no, you can tell that he studied, because one thing that he did a lot was aiming for his backhand. He kept aiming for Shelton's backhand, which
is a weaker wing, yeah.
At the moment, you know, he's still working on it, as he said as well. He knew that was his weakest spot, and he took advantage of that. He took advantage of trying to return to his strong serve. Like, even during his press, you could tell that he really, really did study him. So I guess credits to Sinner for that. But I did wish that we'll get at least one set from Shelton, because straight sets was like, wow.
Yeah, he had an opportunity in that first set, because it went to a tie break.
It did.
And Shelton did get the mini break first.
He did,
then,
yeah.
Yeah,
and then he started...
Just snuffed him out.
Yeah, and he started serving a bit longer as well.
He felt under a lot of pressure, like, on serve. Just because Sinner's such a good returner as well.
He is.
And like, yeah, I think with Sinner being... And this is something we've said again on the pod a few times. Like, right now, Sinner and Alcaraz, they're playing like a different game. Like, they are not... They're playing a completely different game when it comes to this thing we call tennis. Like, the level is just, it's insane.
It's actually insane.
And I feel like it did catch Shelton by surprise, even though he's played, like you said, the head-to-head is, what, 5-1 in Sinner's favour. So they played
six. Shelton beat him once that first time, and Sinner was like, never again.
They played each other six times already.
Yeah.
So it's not like he's not used to the ball. But then... This was their first meeting on grass as well.
No.
Wasn't? Oh, no, sorry. They played last year on grass, sorry. Mm-hmm. Shelton did say, actually, in press, that in terms of this year at Wimbledon, he's not seeing a ball like Sinner's.
Yeah.
So it was a completely, like, different ball he was getting compared to his three, four-round matches before. Mm-hmm. So, again, like, that must throw you off, like, as a player. Like,
for
when
sure.
you're... you know, competing, all of a sudden you feel like you're in a good rhythm, you've won a few matches, you know, you're in a good vibe, but then all of a sudden you've got this guy across the other side, like, that's basically teeing off and giving you a look that you've never had before. Like, that must be a bit of a, like, I was going to swear, but I won't, but a head muddle, let's say that. But yeah, I think, again, big, like, shout out to Shelton in terms of just the way he's played this tournament. I feel like he's had a really, really good tournament. First Wimbledon quarterfinal, his matches before today as well, the Sonego match, which was a four-setter, came through that. Looked pretty comfortable, even though he did lose that first set, but came through in four in the end. And then today... Yeah, it was always going to be tough. And I think with Sinner too, I think it's difficult when you're playing a player that has an injury, but yet there's no kind of real sign of that. Like, Sinner did not look injured today.
At all.
Like, for me, it's probably the best match he's played all tournament.
Which is crazy, yeah.
And I'm saying that I've not watched a lot of Sinner. Like, I'm going to be honest. But obviously against Dimitrov, he was not playing to this level. Whereas, yeah, against Ben today, like, he was on it. He really was.
Yeah.
So,
for sure.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the match itself, we weren't able to get seats on number one, because there were just so many Italian journalists that had requested seats for that match. And it's funny, that match is also going on at the same time as Flavio Cabotti versus Novak Djokovic, which finished with Novak winning that in four. But yeah,
Novak had a really nasty four though, but yeah.
But he did come through.
Oh, Speaking of Nolan, as you can hear, it's his fan.
Yeah, we're podding outside today, guys, as you can probably hear.
Giving you guys the Wimbledon energy. But yeah, either way, I'm really excited for Shelton for the hard court swing. I hope he just sees this as like a motivation.
Yeah, he did say he's looking forward to getting back to the States
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, he did.
Because hard court, so that's his favoured surface.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's made runs at the US Open before as well. Mm-hmm. And yeah, just an American being at home, like, I don't feel we kind of, like, that does count for a lot, basically, when mm-hmm. you're playing at home in front of your home crowd, like, familiar surroundings. Like, I think a lot of the Americans are very much looking forward to getting back home because it's been a long kind of, yeah, it's been a long few months, really, like, on tour, like, basically just touring Europe.
Yeah.
God knows how many months.
I don't know if he even went back home.
I don't think he did, exactly. Yeah,
like
yeah.
There's some players, not a lot of players go back home. A lot of them just stay, so yeah.
So yeah, that's the end of Shelton. Impress. I think you said that, yeah, he wasn't happy. Like he was down. Still gave like really good answers, mm-hmm. which again is something I really appreciate from players, especially when they've like lost mm-hmm. a match and so soon after a loss as well. Like it's difficult to come out and talk to the media like straight away.
Yeah.
But again, I and this is something I've always said about Ben as well. Like he's a very good talker. Like he speaks really well.
Mm-hmm.
He can like analyze a match, win or lose, in like such great depth.
Mm-hmm. Is he somewhere?
I don't know.
Or people just waved from the Pims. Look what Pims does to you guys.
Is this going to interrupt? Or is it?
I mean, if it does, it does, isn't it? Like, here's where it is. We're outside. We're giving the vibe. Exactly.
It's authentic. But yeah, Shelton, like, he there were a lot of things he said in press that I was like, you know what, fair play. Obviously, the thing about being back in America, also playing on hard courts as well. Like, he was like, yeah, hard courts is his favourite surface, so he's looking forward to getting back on that as well. There was also a question that I asked, obviously keeping it positive, just about basically him being 22 years old. Like, he's at the very early stages of his career, but yet he's achieved quite a lot already in terms of like Grand Slams. I messed up the stat, guys. So I said that he'd reached the quarterfinals or better at all four Grand Slams. It's actually the fourth round or better because he's yet to reach the quarters at the French, which he did correct me on. So shouts out to you, Ben, for doing that and apologies. But yeah, my point was that basically he's so young, he only turned pro in 2022, and yet he's got that already like under his bow. And yeah, this is what he said.
Yeah, I know that I can play at the Grand Slams at this point. I know that I have the ability to, you know, be deep in the tournament when it's 3 out of 5 sets. And at this point, it's just, you know, what I do when I get there. Obviously playing against the best guys in the world where everyone's feeling the sharpest. And yeah, there's just things that I have to improve on. So yes, I could sit there and be like, wow, you know, 22 years old and I've been able to do these things and achieve these things, but my mind is, I don't know, critical. I'm a critical thinker. You know, trying to solve problems. I know that I'm not where I want to be, and you know, that's kind of what I'm focusing on. Obviously being closer and being in the later stages makes you even more hungry and makes you feel like you can do it and you can break through. So I'm definitely grateful for, you know, these opportunities and runs that I've had to the late stages of these tournaments. But yeah, my mind is just kind of locked in on, you know, the work that I have to do.
So yeah, that was Ben just speaking about, you know, what he's achieved already at 22. And like you said, Lucy, clearly he wasn't like, that was the most like low he was since we've seen him, obviously coming off the back of a defeat.
Yeah.
Still gave a good answer though.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Any last words on Ben or?
No, just, you know, the fact that he made it past, he defended his points last year. He made it past. So I think he had a decent grass season. Finals. After that was a little bit rocky, but I think he still did pretty good. And again, he lost to the player that everyone is literally unable to beat them, especially when he's at slams and deep down at slams and stuff. And yeah, hopefully we'll eventually we'll get that win. The same way Coco's getting them wins against Iga now recently. Eventually we'll get there. It might take longer or whatever, but as he's improving his techniques, changing his game, there will be a time where it will be tougher and tougher for Sinner and Alcaraz because people will keep playing their best.
Yeah.
So
I think basically players are still trying to figure out like the best way to play against those two.
Yeah, because they change it up a lot as well. Yeah, you know, Sinner changed it up. He even talked about changing up his shoes during his press because
fresh shoes today.
Yeah, and of how slippery it is, like on the grass and stuff. So yeah, these guys are just different. But massive shout out to Shelton and a massive shout out to all the single players. It's been a great run, a great slam, entertaining matches as well. Mm. Especially that it was a very weird Grand Slam where, you know, a lot of the top seeds are out.
Early.
You know, you look at the last four of the women's, you know.
All seeds though, I think, which is, well, apart from Bencic, which we'll talk about. But
still,
yeah.
I don't think some people had that Bencic to be down, especially with how she barely played the grass season and was injured the last time she played. You know, or even Iga. I don't think some people had Iga initially. No, so, yeah.
But just on the men, so Jannik Sinner now will play Novak Djokovic because Novak beat Flavio Caboli from a set down, actually. So Novak lost the first set in the tiebreak, but then won sets 2, 3, and 4. So yeah, he's now through to the semi-finals to play Jannik Sinner. Who you got for that, Lucy?
Oh, Sinner. I've already said Sinner Alcaraz final from the get-go.
I'm going Novak.
I said it. I feel like I said earlier, I feel like that RG final did something to Sinner. Sinner's already someone who's not normal. Like, he's someone where when he thinks about a defeat, he said it before, he thinks about them even in their sleep. So when you're doing that, and I was that close to win in straight, yeah, we had the best final. I don't give a heck. You took something away from me. And also, you know, the two slams that he won, the slams that he won are hardcourt. This is an opportunity for him to show that he's good at the other surfaces as well. So that's another thing as well that, you know, that's pushing him. It's like, I don't want people to think that I'm just a hardcourt specialist. I want to show and prove that I can win more. So,
On the women's side, so earlier we had the seventh seed Mira Andreeva losing to Belinda Bencic in 2 tie breaks. Bencic, the only remaining unseeded player in the women's draw anyway. So yeah, she's now through to the semi-finals where she'll play Iga Swiatek, the number 8 seed, who beat Ludmila Samsonova 6-2, 7-5. Who you got for that?
Iga Sabalenka final, bro.
Just straight to it.
Just straight to it. Which I think that'll be really cool if we have that for both men's and women.
So like so Sabalenka has Anisimova.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think Anisimova is my pick. So I'm going for Amanda.
I just hope that if Sabalenka makes it to the final, she wins it because I feel like that will mentally finish her if she gets to another Grand Slam final and she doesn't win it. So if she's not going to win it, she's better off losing the semi-final than actually losing the final. I think that will like
fascinating
do more to her, but we'll see. But I think it will be great if men's we get an Alcaraz semi-final and then also we get an Iga.
That's pretty solid. It's pretty solid. Who are you laughing at?
Sorry, we've got another podcast right in front of us recording Tennis Unfiltered and Black Swing Global. Sorry, guys, a little interruption. But yeah, so I think it will be fun in terms of, like, you know, they're both like ranked players and everything, but from both sides, men's and women. So
in the doubles action, so we did have, like we said, Taylor Townsend and Katerina Siniakova. So
yeah,
they beat the temp seeds Tamia Babosh and Luisa Stefani. Yeah, 7-6, 6-3.
It was. I know the second set it seemed smooth, but it could have gone pretty left. But the first set was tight as well. I do want to give credit, which is why I wish I went to their press, but by the time I realized the time was too late. I do want to give credit to Taylor Townsend. She has improved a lot on her serve, which actually did help secure that to close out the match.
Okay.
Like, she was serving really well, really big. So yeah, a massive shout out to Taylor. And honestly, I've also noticed from the first round to now, when Taylor Townsend is playing, the courts are full, man. Like, she draws a crowd. Yeah. Like, she's definitely going to be a player responsible of bringing a lot of popularity to doubles, whether it was with Katerina or Evans, King as well. Like, it was full, and you know it's because of her.
I'll never forget, actually, last year, US Open was one of the outside courts. She was playing mixed with Donald Young.
Yeah, it was rammed. It's really, like, anytime she's playing, it is packed. So it's really nice to see.
So
very interesting next round.
So yeah, they'll play the fourth seeds, Yelena Ostapenko and Su Wei Shea.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I don't know what their head-to-head is, but I feel like I think they played each other a lot. And I want to say it's a pretty even head-to-head.
Even or Ostapenko and them are up. Because I think last time they won, but we'll see. You know, defending champions, it will be great if they can make it to the final at least.
The other semi-final is Desiree Kravchuk and Olivia Gadecki against Elise Mertens and Veronika Kudermetova, who are the eighth seeds.
Interesting, yeah.
Kravchuk and Gadecki, they're unseeded. So,
yeah.
Townsend and Siniakova looking to make back-to-back doubles finals, which... Mm-hmm. I mean, it seems very likely, and we do wish them luck.
Yeah.
That will be played on Friday.
Yeah.
So, looking like another day off for us tomorrow, Lucy.
For sure.
Another day off. We will be keeping track of the juniors as well. I still need to look through the junior draw, because I think they're at the quarterfinal stage now. But yeah, like I said, man, it's sad that this is, we're at the end of the road when it comes to singles now,
yeah,
both men and women. But no, a solid run from Ben, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, super proud of him to reach the quarterfinals as a temp seed. Now up to, like, I think he's number 9 in the live rankings.
Yep.
So,
rankings, nice to see.
Rankings going up as expected. Exactly. Mm. Good
ATP
to see.
Finals?
He's in there. He's in with a shout, definitely.
Might have to take a quick trip to Italy.
To Turin. Love that.
Because I do like... Oh, yeah. Actually, I'm going to look, you know. I'm at Rome. I'm not going to lie. Why not?
It's definitely a possibility, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that wraps up day 10, Lucy.
Yes. So stay tuned, guys, on socials. Again, thank you guys for tuning in this slam. But yeah, we shall be back on day 12.
Day 12, yeah. Take care, guys.